Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
On to something, well, better. Let's get into a series that's starting new in our church today called Better. I am ready for something better. Are you ready for something better? And let me ask you this question. Have you ever felt like normal just isn't cutting it? Like normal just isn't working? I wonder if you can relate to my friend. Let's check this out. Because what? Normal isn't working. If you're like me, you tend to do the same stuff over and over and over, even though it's not working, and maybe it's time for a change. So I want to welcome everybody in the sanctuary. If you're joining us in the cafe, if you're joining us online, it's exciting to see the growing online crowd. And by the way, thank you to the technical and media people. You guys, you're having an open house, I think, next week. If you want to be a part of helping us get messages out to the world, join the media team. But it's great to have everybody joining us together. And we're in a series called Better. And actually, we have produced a study guide for this series that you can get in the lobby. And the intent of this is that you can follow along with your small group. A lot of our small groups will be adopting Better for the next 6 weeks. So we'll do the message on Sunday. Then you'll go to your small group. And if you'd like to get connected with a small group, on the Better series, you can meet Pastor Chris after the service and pick up the information in room 202. So the newcomers will go to 201, and the Better group leaders, if you want to be equipped to lead a Better group, meet Pastor Chris in room 202. That way, throughout all of our small groups and on Sundays for about 6 weeks, we'll be going through this material together. It's a really cool way to do that, and you can always check out gatewaysmallgroups.com. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. This is a verse I'd like us to read together. It's verse 40 of chapter 11. It's the easy-to-read version, so this should be easy to read. Can we say it out loud together? Let's read it. God plans something better. God plans something better for us. Today's message is titled Goodbye Normal, Hello Better. Because today is going to be a decision point for us. Today is an opportunity for us to say, you know, the way I've been living just isn't working. The way I've been approaching marriage, the way I'm doing my money, the way I'm approaching church or ministry or what, it's just not working at this level, and I just keep doing it over and over and over the same way, and it's time for a change. It's time to move to a place called better, and the good news for us today is that God is making us an offer. God is offering us something better. It says he has planned something better. And so there is an offer on the table from heaven for every single one of us. It doesn't have to stay the way it is. It doesn't have to stay normal. It can move to a better place through the power of Jesus Christ. Now, when you talk about normal, normal might sound attractive because we all kind of want normal. But when you stop and think that normal isn't working well, it's time to switch away from normal. The problem sometimes is normal. Normal can pull you back from better. Normal can be a roadblock. You know, well, this is the way I do it. I mean, this is how I roll, so I guess I'm stuck with it. No, you can change. And the gospel is a message about how your life can change and how things can move to a better place. Our habits and our behaviors and our mindsets, the way we think, has got to change. It's got to get better. And if we'll change our minds and change our habits, then our life can go to a better place. And only the Lord can really give us the power that we need to do that. We have to escape some of the normal patterns, right? How's normal working for you? Holding a grudge. Putting it on a credit card, right? Treating people poorly, ending up alone, skipping your time with God. Those things might seem normal. Trying to do it yourself, trying to make all your own decisions, never consulting with God, never letting God lead you, never really truly yielding yourself completely over to God. That might seem normal, but it's standing in the way of something better. Actually, normal is the enemy of better. Let me say a few things about normal. Normal is the enemy of better. It stands in the way and actually resists. So normal isn't as great as people make it out to. What we should long for, what we should thirst for in life is not normal. We should be thirsting for something better. Normal is easy. That's another issue with normal. And the reason most people just settle for normal and they stay with normal and they keep doing normal day after day after day, making the same dumb mistakes all the time, is because it's just easy to do that. Where did this extra 15 pounds around my midsection come out? Well, how did that happen? Like, you know, like aliens invaded and they put it there, you know. It was easy. You open up the credit card statement and you're shocked. Oh my God, how did I get $5,500 on this credit card? How did this happen? Well, it was easy. The speeding ticket I got 5 weeks ago. The second one this summer. It was easy. All I had to do was keep driving the way I was driving. That's all I had to do. I just had to just stay with what was normal. And it's like God said, all right, now you're going to pay. And pay I have. And that brings me to the last part of it. Normal isn't working. It's costly. It's costly to keep making the same dumb choices, to keep doing the same crazy stuff and never address the fact that it can be different. You don't have to hit the car. You don't have to spill the milk. You don't have to keep plugging it into the faulty socket. You can change the socket. You can reroute yourself. You can pay attention when you're driving. Life can get better. Now, that's just on a very natural level. But I want to go deeper than just a natural level. I want the Spirit of God to go deep into our hearts to help us to understand that there are patterns about the way we think and the way we live and where we're at spiritually that also are just as normal, but just as unworkable. And God wants to do a deep work in our hearts. Now, the good news is this. If you think deeply with me about this, do you agree with this statement? Jesus Christ isn't normal. Do you agree with that statement? Jesus Christ isn't normal. What is he? He's better. And that's what the book of Hebrews is really all about. If you just dig in and look at the writer of Hebrews and what he's trying to say is that you guys are living in a certain way and there's fear and you have no confidence and you're losing your faith and you're losing your grip and all that. But life can get better and it starts by looking to Jesus who is better. The superiority of Jesus. So we look at Jesus, for example, and what he taught and what he did. You can read all about it in the Gospels, and it's so beautiful that everything he did was better. He wasn't normal. It's not normal to die on a cross. It's not normal to teach people to love people who hate them, to bless people who curse them. There's nothing normal about that. He says, if you're poor, give. If you want to be great, serve. That's not normal. There is nothing about the Christian life or message that is normal. It's letting go of what we've been doing and how we've been experiencing life to experience life on a whole different level. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, for example. There's so many better scriptures in Hebrews, but this one is good. It says, you've come to Jesus, the one who brought the new agreement from God to his people. There's a new covenant that God wants to make. And Hebrews describes it as a better covenant, right? He's brought you this new agreement from God to his people. You have come to the sprinkled blood, that blood of forgiveness, that blood that cleanses, that tells us about what? Better things. Everything Jesus stands for is to bring you into something better. Better than what you can do on your own, and better than what religion has done for you. Better than the law. Christ's covenant and all that he comes to bring is the story of a brand new life. Now, I want us to focus this morning on a great story. It's an encounter that Jesus himself had with a man that we don't know what his name is, but he's described as the rich young ruler. So we're going to go over into the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, and we're going to see how Jesus offers somebody a chance for better and how the decisions that we make really determine everything about whether our life gets better or not. Let me just pause right here to say those of you that are watching this in your small group as a part of the Better Study Guide, you can jump out right now and jump into your guide. Go to week number one in your Better Guide and finish this off during your group. Have a good discussion in your small group and work through the material that's in front of you. God bless you as you enjoy your small group. All right, Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. It says, now as he was going, talking about Jesus, as he was going on the road, one came running, wow, and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? This is like really the right question. This is a question that every person should be thinking deeply about. What do I need to do for my life to change, to enter into what God has for me? So he starts out really good. But surprisingly, Jesus doesn't answer the question. Look at how the story unfolds. Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother, and so on. And he said to him, he answered and said to him, a teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. I give myself an A in all these things. And Jesus looked at him, and how did Jesus feel about him? He loved him. Just think about that, and then think just for a minute about how much he loves you, because he really does. He looks at you. He's not ashamed of you. He doesn't hate you. He's not out to get you. He loves you. But he's doing something in your life right now, just like he was doing in the rich young ruler's life. Looked at him, loved him, and he said this. And this is where it gets a little bit hard. He said, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, and take up the cross, and what? Follow me. So the rich young ruler did exactly what Jesus said, and his life got better. Is that what it says? Actually, he turned and was sad at this word and went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. What a story. What does it mean? Well, the rich young ruler was everything that everybody in Silicon Valley wants to be. He was rich, he was young, and he was in charge. He had everything, and to top off his resume, he was a good moral person. So he's young, he's attractive, he's in positions of authority, he's got money, and he's kept the law by his own admission. He's done everything right his whole life. And you would think that Jesus would say, congratulations, your life is as good as it can get. You've reached the top, baby. You've got everything that everybody wants. I have nothing to add. Welcome to the kingdom of God, right? But that isn't what he said. Because the rich young ruler had completely missed better. He had a lot of things where they needed to be, but he still was empty and he knew something was missing. And he asked the Lord, Lord, what am I missing? What do I need to do? You might think if you're rich and if you're young and if you have power that you wouldn't ask that question. But I'll tell you, riches and youth and power doesn't really satisfy that eternal part of your life. Inside you know and you know and you know that something is missing and you say, what else do I have to do? There's got to be more than this. How can my life get better? And Jesus looks at him and he says, he asks this question and it's almost off-putting. You know, Jesus can come across sometimes a little bit shocking. What must I do to be saved, Lord? Why do you call me good? There's only one that's good, and that's God. Hey, lighten up, Jesus. Can't you take a compliment? I mean, you know, I said you're good. No, I'm not good. I need you to make a decision. Before I answer your question, I need you to make a decision about who I am to you. Because if I'm just a teacher, then I'm going to give you a surprising answer. If I'm your Lord, am I really a person in your life that can actually dictate the terms of your future? Will you trust me to make life better? So he discerns, Jesus discerns right where this guy is. And he says, look, you're looking at this the wrong way. I'm going to challenge your assumptions. Because your assumption is that I can just give you one little key, maybe just to brush up on, maybe just to polish in your life. And that's the missing ingredient. But I don't want to touch you up. I want to gut you and rebuild you from the bottom up. And it starts with, are you playing a religious game or am I your Lord? Because you seem to have so much on your own and you're even proud of how well you're doing. So why are you calling me good? Do you actually believe that I am good? Do you actually believe that I am God? Am I in a position to change your life? See, Jesus is so discerning. He looks down and he knows exactly where we are. He looks past our rich, and he looks past our young, and he looks past our authority, and he sees what's missing. Maybe you think Jesus is a little touchy or a little firm here, but here's what's going on. Write this down. Love opposes. You see this, it says that he loved him. Let me tell you what love does. Love opposes anything, even if it looks normal, if it's damaging us. It's not love to pat somebody on the back and say, God bless you, keep on going in the way you're going. Love actually will challenge your assumptions. Love will say, I don't know if you actually really understand what's going on here. Love will say, it's time to get your priorities right. So Jesus touches the one thing in this guy's life that he loves more than anything, which is his power, which is his money. Is the way that you get saved and the way that I get saved by selling everything we have and giving it away to the poor, is that what the Lord is saying to all of us? It's what the Lord is saying to this guy whose life was built on his wealth. He said, this normal that you have, it's blocking the better. And for you, my friend, you got to stop bowing down to wealth and power. Give it away and just follow me. So the guy turns away. He can't handle it. He can't get there. Love will challenge our root issues. I want you to put yourself in the position this morning of the rich young ruler. If Jesus Christ said to you, let go of everything that you're doing for yourself. Let go of this, all this posing and all this fronting and all this career and life that you've built by yourself. Just forget about that because that's not taking you in, or just follow me. Put all that on the table. Would you be willing to follow Jesus to a place called better? You see, sometimes better looks worse than normal. At first, the rich young ruler hears this and he thinks, well, this is a terrible idea. What, are you kidding? I've been working my whole life. I'm a good person. Why do I have to give away everything I've got? That can't be right. That'll just make things worse. I'm so tempted right here to say worser, but I know that's not a word, but it just wants to, it's like I want to say sometimes better looks worser. But the English teachers in the room will get really irritated with me, so I better not do that. Maybe just once. Sometimes better looks worser at first. All right, I apologize. It's like remodeling. You know, you want your kitchen to look brand new. You want it to look amazing, right? And so, you look at all the magazines. You say, wow, it's going to be great. Man, our kitchen's going to get better. And then comes the guy with the hammer and the dust and the noise and the plastic and the tools and it takes longer than they told you it was going to take, and it costs more than they told you it was going to cost. And at some point you're kind of going, this is worse. I just want my funky kitchen back. You're tempted to turn around and kind of redo it. But you got to press all the way through the worser, sorry, till you get to the better. And that's what this guy didn't do. He just turned and walked away. I don't want the mess. I don't want the challenge. I don't want the hassle. I'm going to return to normal. Sometimes things do look worse before they get better. And how many times in our life does God call us to make a decision to move towards something better? Not just maybe giving our lives to Christ, because many of us here this morning have already done that. But what about moving to a better place in our marriage, or moving to a better place in our ministry, or moving to a better place in our habits or our lifestyle? And God calls on us to do that hard thing that just, it's such a mess and it's so hard and it's like almost like giving away everything we have. We feel we won't have anything if we let go of this issue or let go of this opinion or let go of this habit. And God is saying, I want it, put it on the table. Let go of that judgment of that person. Let go of that mindset that you have about that group of people. Let it go and move past it. And so then we have a choice to either turn around and say, nah, I can't do that. I'm going back to normal. This is how I've always done it. Or we push through the pain to a place called better. I remember in 1980, when the church, it was actually 1979, I was a college student, and here I am today, how many years later, 37 years later, I'm leading our church. I'm having such, I love pastoring this church. I love ministry more today than any time in my life. But I remember when it began, and I wasn't in charge of everything, and I didn't have, authority and power. I was just a cleanup person, and the church made me an offer. I was in college. I had a job it was a drafting job, illustrating, and it was $12 an hour, which in 1979 was pretty good money. And the church offered me $2.10 an hour, and I took it. Idiot, right? You would say, how would you go from $12 an hour to $2 an hour just to be, how will you do that? And I will tell you that at certain times it was like, I don't know if this is the math doesn't seem to be working right. So I had something normal, and then to follow God's plan for my life as best I could, it looked like I had to choose something worser. But after the worser, it started to get what? Better. And so now I'm enjoying life like nobody's business. But all of that to ask you the question, what is the Lord asking for you to do right now that looks at first like it would be worse? But then, because it's His way, because you're following Him, it won't stay worse. It'll get better. And maybe you're in a place today where things are actually worse because you followed the Lord. I wish I could say that everything improves dramatically overnight, instantaneously. Everyone will love you if you just follow Jesus. Everything will come up roses for all followers of Jesus Christ. But that's not the message, is it? Sometimes following Jesus is a tougher route. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. But be willing to push through the worse until you get to the better. The question on the table is, are you willing to give up normal to embrace God's offer to get better? The rich young ruler went back to normal and he lost his chance for life. And Proverbs 14 has never been truer than it is today. There's a way that seems right to people, but it just doesn't take you where you want to go. It's better to follow Jesus. If he is Lord, let's follow him. Let's do it his way. Let's move with him to something better, which the book of Hebrews describes. A life of victory, a life of authority, a life of peace and joy and confidence and contentment. But we've got to be followers of Jesus. Can we trust him? Will he get us to where we need to be? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. For you know the grace. Everyone say grace. Maybe you want to circle that word grace. That's a very big word in the New Testament. Grace is better than law. That's what the book of Hebrews is saying. Grace, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that although he was rich, yet he became what? Poor for your sake, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Now, is this a verse about money? Not at all. What is he saying? He's saying Jesus took a route that looked worse. It took him to a cross. But at resurrection time, 3 days later, it got a whole lot better. And because he died, I'm so glad he died on that cross for me. I'm so glad he was willing to embrace worse so that there could be a better. And after that cross, resurrection time, and now all of us can become spiritually rich. We were broke spiritually. We had nothing. But because of Jesus and his grace, things are getting a whole lot better. I want you to bow your heads and I want to pray for you because it's decision time. I told you earlier in the service that you would have a chance to make a choice about your future, and I want to bring you to that moment. Many of you in this room have already decided to follow Christ. You've made that commitment. You raised your hand. You prayed the prayer. You've said, Jesus, I give my heart to you. But maybe somehow you've slipped off the path. Somehow you got more toward the rich young ruler style of normal. And you've lost that supernatural better. And I want to pray for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you're somewhere that you just don't really want to be, you didn't think life would bring you to this place so far from God, so discouraged, so down, so bummed out, depressed. Even though you have Christ in your life, you know there's a change that needs to come and you want better. If that's you, just lift your hand. Don't be ashamed, but heads are bowed. Just lift your hand. Say, Pastor, pray for me. It's just not going good right now. I need to move to a better place. I'm going to pray for you. I am absolutely going to pray for you. I believe God sees your heart right now. And you know what? He loves you. The Lord loves you. He looks at you and he's not against you, but he might say something to you that would be, hey, turn in a different direction. Follow me. Now there's one more group of people that I want to pray for before we go into our worship time. And that's going to be those that are here today that have never trusted Christ. You've never given your heart to the Lord, but you're ready to do that today. You say, Pastor David, pray for me. I'm sick of life. It's not working. I can't do it without the Lord. And I want to surrender my sins and my life and everything that I am, I want to give it. I want to put it all on the table. And I want to be a follower of Jesus. Is there someone here you would lift your hand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, but you would lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. That's me. I need to turn my life over to Christ. Wherever you are, just lift it up. God bless you. Wherever you are, I see you, young man. Thank you. Thank you in the back. Yep, and you too. I see you. 5, 6, 7 hands being raised. Now I'm going to pray for everyone who raised their hands. Father, I ask you right now to do a miracle in this room. Holy Spirit, it's that time. And these hearts are ready. And they're saying yes. And I ask you for a miracle. I ask you for a miracle in their life to change and move them, and really all of us, move all of us closer to Jesus. Wash away our sins. Forgive us, Lord. Empower us with the Holy Spirit and help us not to make the same mistakes every single day. Help us to move and to take that offer that you're giving us, which is eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Guys, just look right at me. Those of you that raise your hands and everyone else here, I want to invite you to say a prayer. Our altar team is going to come in just a moment as we begin to worship music. But there's a prayer that we're putting up on the screen, and this is a point of contact for you, for all of us really, watching online, listening in the cafe. I want us to say this prayer and really allow the power of Christ to fill us. You say, well, it's just words on the screen. Yeah, but when it comes from the heart, when you say it by faith, it could be the thing that pushes you over that line in exactly the right direction. So let's all say this prayer. Those of you that raised your hands and everyone else, let's say it together. Father God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to make the world better. My choices have left me frustrated and empty. I'm ready for a life that is better. Lord Jesus, I let go of normal and say yes to... We got to say that part one more time. Lord Jesus, I let go of normal and say yes to following you. Today, I surrender to your love and forgiveness in Christ's name. Amen. Now, there was about 15 hands a few minutes ago that were raised at various points of commitment to Christ. And I'd like the rest of us to indicate that we think that's pretty great, huh? Can we let them know that that's awesome? Hallelujah. I'd love to connect with you more deeply. So as we come to the offering time, you've got that card. And maybe today for you better looks like joining a small group or volunteering or becoming a part of Gateway. For many of you, it's following Christ. Let us know about that. Maybe it's joining a grow track. You want to take the next step in ministry. Make a commitment today. Drop it in the offering. Let us know what you're deciding to do and how we can help you move to a better place. Thank you for your generous giving. As we worship the Lord, the offering is going to come by. When everyone's been served, we're going to stand and have a blessing together. Let's worship the Lord and let the Holy Spirit really fill us in this moment.
Sing hallelujah. is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means praise the Lord. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want my friends on the prayer team to come at this time. There's a couple of points of connection here before we dismiss. First, if you're new in the church, I'd love to connect with you. If I've never met you, there's just a very brief reception in room 203 to my left and to your right afterwards. Ushers will help you find that. If you're interested in being a part of a better group or leading in a better group, you can connect with Pastor Chris in room 202 right now. And if you need prayer, you can connect with one of our prayer teams. You might just want to check in with somebody and say, I just got some stuff I just need somebody to agree with me on. I have a problem with my kid or a health issue or whatever it is. We really do want to connect with you. And next Sunday, we're going to continue this. For 6 Sundays, we're going to be on this theme. Do you know what I'm believing? I'm believing it's going to get better. Whatever happens in the election, hey, Jesus is still Lord. And I'm not believing for worser. I'm believing for better. Amen. How many of you guys choose better with me? You choose better. I choose that. And it can be. We just have to say yes to the Lord. Now, would you just lift your hands so I can bless you? Holy Spirit, I honor you. You're the one that gives life. Jesus, I praise you. You're Lord of all. Now I pray for your people online, in the cafe, here in the auditorium, across 3 campuses. I pray that the joy of the Lord will fill our lives, Lord. The joy of your salvation, that we will be strong with the might of Jesus Christ, that through and through, that joy will radiate through us and draw us to a better place, Lord. Let us live this week on top and not underneath of every circumstance of life. Lord, put a smile in our heart, put joy in our spirit, and give us your strength. In Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. God bless you. I love every one of you. You're dismissed with the blessing of the Lord. Greet somebody.
Any friends of Myro, we're going to send them out.
Okay. We're going to pray with Myro, who's our drummer. He's moving to Seattle. How dare he? But any of you that love Myro and want to be a part of a prayer send time, we're going to have a little huddle right up here. Okay, come on, receive prayer if you need prayer. God bless you.